This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Well, good morning. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And it is, where are we? This is Thursday morning. Yeah, Thursday? Friday. What day is it? Friday. It's Friday. And and we are going into day three of the convention. We're soon going to be going into the Pat Page Memorial Workshop. But before we do, I thought I would talk to one of the people who was featured yesterday on the British Gala close-up show, Mr. Kieran Johnson. Hello, Kieran.
Hello, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoy being had.
I love being out. Yeah,
someone had said that they would like for me to chat with you, and so I thought, well, I certainly wanted to, because the first thing that struck me when you walked out was how bizarre and different that you were from the rest of the Brits who were over. I mean, the first thing you do is stick your glasses up your nose.
I think it was like when I came on stage yesterday, everything I had planned just went out my head, and I went, must hold back. And then I just got there and I thought, you know what, I'll just do my thing. And, like when I do that, what it does is a little bit disgusting, but it also shocks everyone into watching. So anyone asleep at that point was like, what? What's he going to do next?
Right.
And then I started ad-libbing. I was meant to be a time traveler, and somehow I became a time traveling freak, which just made everyone laugh.
It kind of developed impromptu.
Yeah, it was pretty much, on the spot. I was like, I felt like a rabbit in the headlights, because it's such a huge honor to be here.
Yeah.
And when you're seeing like legends like Gene Anderson at the front, and you're just thinking, oh my God, that guy, like,
yeah, Paul Gertner and everybody,
yes.
Yeah.
Like the legends in the room, and Sean Farquhar. It's like you could go on, but like when you're looking at those, you go, oh my God, I've got your stuff, or you've influenced me, or I've watched your DVD, and you're like going, boom. And I'm thinking, what do? I swallow stuff and make things hot and cold. I hope they like them.
Well, that was pretty bizarre too. Yeah, as far as making the soda boiling hot and different things that you did, and then the garden the ice and all.
I always think that they're great tricks, but the method is better. So when I was showing everyone yesterday, afterwards going through it all, they were like, whoa, that's how it's done. So showing them all the method and stuff. But
Is that something that you teach in your lecture also?
Yeah, on my Penguin lecture plug, or any lecture I have.
when was the Penguin lecture released?
November, but I've just written a new lecture because I've just did a European tour, so I've got lots of new material now that I didn't have. It's actually probably better structured now. I think when you've done it 18 times in a row, you just get a bit more to go with it.
A little bit tighter also. You kind of know what works and doesn't, how to do the show or the lecture. Yeah.
And the particular trick with the can, I have so many handlings for that and different concepts. Because one of the things I've been working on now is, rather than have a force of a word, the words I have on my cards, I've got 30 of the items now on me, so I can have someone name an item, and then I can do a trick with the item.
So you're kind of a walking index.
Yes, pretty much. I'm planning to get to 52.
Oh, okay.
And I think I met a really lovely French man in Nice. I can't remember his name, but he said I should get rid of the cards and just get people to say things and then see
if they happen to hit.
Yeah, if they happen to hit.
Yeah.
He said,
there are some things, you know, I think that are just going to be some common items that people would normally think of, you know, and just you can almost do a psychological force of it.
I think so. I mean, I one of the things I have in there is I have famous people in there, and when I tell them go through it later on, a magician who says, oh, I want that one, but because I know they're going to say that, they're falling for the psychological force of that. Now, if you see the lecture and you don't do that, just forget I've mentioned it. But it's just I like the idea of creating the illusion of freedom of choice with magic, and one of the things I did touch on the last lecture I've just been talking about was how to create free choice but without forcing something, but just knowing what people are going to say if you phrase use the right language. I feel like I'm applying mentalism but to magic, rather than, you know, so I can get them to say what I want, but then I can do a magic trick with it rather than read their mind.
Does that have to do with knowing the psychology and understanding that a bit more? Or
Just performing it so many times, and just, it sounds arrogant, but knowing people.
Sure.
And knowing that the limited choices, and I guess just from years of performing the same concepts and developing and working on it and hashing on it and stuff. Because one of the things I do, am I going to explain?
Sure.
I have a routine where I produce a lollipop. And one of the things I've been with from Flash Paper, which is a really cool idea, lots of people play around with that concept, but one of the things I've done with it is I frame it with a piece of paper and I say, if you could make me do one thing with this piece of paper, what would you make me do? and there's free...
Turn into a dollar bill.
No. Okay. See, that's the really interesting thing. Hmm. No one ever says money. I mean, magicians say money.
Interesting.
It's a really interesting... And I think it's because when you get to a table and you start with this phrase and you put a sipper lighter down and you have a piece of paper and you go, people aren't very sure, and especially with me, they think I'm crazy. They go, what would you make me do? Now, this is the thing. They almost, not enough being horrible, but they kind of want to punish you because they want to test you. So the first thing 90% of an audience will say is eat it. So they want me to eat the paper.
Interesting.
So now when I set fire to the paper, I produce a lolly. I've just done a miracle because I've just done the thing they said.
Yeah.
Secondly, this is the most second common thing, is stick it up your nose. Seriously, okay. I know that sounds insane. Yeah. And now I can produce a nail instead of a lolly. Uh-huh. And I can put the nail up my nose, and then again I've shocked them. And the third one, and this is quite common as well, this is more common than stick up your nose, I would say, especially in a drunk crowd. And I apologize for my language, but just stick it up your bum.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a response. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I produce a rubber glove. when I did my lecture in America, someone said they didn't really believe the concept. We went to a bar and they asked me to perform it. I performed it for a girl. The first thing she says, eat it. And her boyfriend says, I wanted you to just stick it up your bum. And they all laughed. I went, yeah, no problem. Put it on. And he's like, well, why? And it's just, obviously, that's just, again, I'm just going off script a little bit. But that's one of the concepts of freedom of choice. But it's all boxed in.
Right.
And just knowing that by phrasing that particular language of what would you make me do?
Yeah, their expectations.
Yes.
That comes from, certainly from work and knowing what people are going to be doing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come just necessarily from book learning, but actually doing the thing. There was, David Cossero had a lecture here a couple of years, and he was talking about the ESP code gag, in which it's like, you know, a baby gag. Who is it that you would guess I would have a picture of, you know, of a famous actress? And so he kind of forces it a little bit like that. And through statistics, he has found different people have a higher ranking, let's say Jennifer Aniston or Julia Roberts or somebody that might be more popular. And so he would have that person in there because there's an 80% chance or whatever. Yeah. So it's just through actual use that you actually get these statistics, rather than just thinking who you think. Just like I said, I thought it'd be a dollar bill, for an example, $100. But a magician thinks differently than a real person.
Yeah, well, I have in my lecture written down, I wrote, no, not money. So, like, I think it's the language, because you think money is the most common thing.
Yeah.
Because, I think it's because it's the wording, if you could make me. Mm-hmm. So right now, they go, what could I make the magician do that's stupid?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why.
Eat it.
Stick it over his nose. Stick it over. So what can we make to make him look silly?
Yeah. Well, we'll get it ready over here for the workshop.
Yeah,
so just real quickly, I'm going to ask you something about the convention. This is your first one.
Yes.
So is it meeting your expectations, exceeding it, or what do you... now that you're finished also, kind of nerves are over. What do you think?
I have to admit, I think this is probably the best, the greatest convention I've ever been to. I feel like I'm at home here.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying in the stage, and you come off stage, you think, oh God, what did I do? Everything was terrible. And then you go, they have all these hotel rooms where you can just go in, and there's an Italian room, you go in and have cheese, then you go to an American room, you have beer, and then you start, like, everyone says, I like stuff, and you show them some of the concepts, and you're like, everyone's loving it, and then you think, wow, this is just amazing. Like, I'm sitting on the bed, there's Sean Farquhar next to me.
Yeah.
I got Mark D'Souza next to me just chatting, saying, do you want some aniseed liquor?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on? And then Gene Anderson just pops in and goes, hello. And I'm like, what?
You're living in a surreal bizarre
world. I know. And I'm like, I don't want this to end. I have to go home to my lovely wife. But I'm like, I just want to live here.
Yeah. And it's kind of amazing because after this is over, it's as if time has stood still because we don't watch TV, we don't know what's happening in the news. Major things can happen when they come back and say, well, we didn't know this happened. Or time is irrelevant here.
Well, it is. And I will say this. This is probably the friendliest convention I've ever been to.
I agree.
There's no ego. There's no.
Right.
It's just like everyone. I just walked up to Carl Hine, introduced myself, and then we had like half an hour chat, and he's cool, and
exactly.
You're just talking about concepts, and had a bit of an argument on framing and different things, which is great. They're not like
discussing,
but
and
it's amazing. This is like my dream come true, and it's everything I hoped it would be. So,
so you're planning on coming back
if they have me back. I did do some weird stuff, so
I'm sure they will. Kieran, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Awful indeed, pleasure.
No, it's been
okay.
Thank you.
That was Kieran Johnson for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells of the Magic Word Podcast .com over here, and we just finished up with the afternoon show of Magical Moments hosted by Christian Painter and Canada Arena, and I've got with me one of my favorite magicians. I say this about a lot of guys, but I got to say, you know, I love Ray Anderson as being a top magician, and right behind him over here is Will Fern. I say that in all earnestness. I really like you a lot.
Well, thanks, Scott. guys with low bars are always my best friends, so you're my new best friend. Thanks.
And so I wanted to talk to you about the convention so far, and particularly the show that we just saw and the teacher trick this morning. So we're into day number three right now. So comments, review, what do you think?
Yeah, well, for those who've never been to 4F, you know, the number one thing is the camaraderie, but not to be seconded by anything else, because the quality of the shows are really high. Guys bring the A game. They know they're going to perform for their colleagues and more importantly, friends.
Right.
And so I admire the guys who come back year after year with wildly creative stuff. We just saw Ludwig DeWitt close off the a show and just blew the room apart. He had a standing ovation before his act was over.
It was even over, yeah.
And yeah, and he did great stuff last year. So to come back and raise that bar again just inspires you, humbles you. And, you know, the workshop this morning, again, a high level. You know, when they say bring a ring and string routine, like, you know, we decided the prior year what's going to be on board for a workshop for the next year.
Right.
And guys tip their best stuff. I mean,
right.
Guys are really, you know, because and they hand out a piece of paper with a download. Everything's free. Just
right.
Total camaraderie. And I know Mike Kirstner, my buddy who nailed his first, his bachelor's presentation, leaned back after Joe Turner, the first guy, came out and did his really cool little ring movement, said
right.
That was worth the price of my trip.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I'm going to start doing that too. That was a interesting idea.
Yeah, I think the thing about this is there's everybody gives the best they have, and there's a camaraderie like nowhere else. But we knew this. A lot of people know that. But so if you ever get a chance to get here, do all it takes to get here. It's a really special place.
Sure. Like Obi was saying, that they have like about what 70 or 80 people I think are performing. So you really have just a few moments to get on, and you really want to do your best because you want to make an impact, certainly.
Sure.
And but also you're performing before everybody else who has a lot of really good stuff or has invented a lot of good things, and they're looking with a critical eye, not necessarily just for the slide, but also for the presentation. And what are you doing that might be a little bit different? For an example, yesterday in the all-British show that Mark Leverage had done, appeared to be, was going to be
a hack nightmare.
Professor's Nightmare, and then ended up with all three ropes being the same length, and
it just
killed everybody.
And to see that many acts, you walk away with, you know, it's so many ideas. Oh, I want to pursue an idea like that. Oh, that's a pretty neat thing. Boy, I wouldn't mind having a presentation that's as funny as that. And then you walk out and your mind's a jumble and you're just, you know, you're exhausted from it all. But, you know, the best part of that process, it started at the wrong point to make, but I'm going to end with the right point, is these young guys that come from overseas and it's their first time here. Mikhail Trombosa from Sicily, and he just does some great stuff, and at the drop of a dime he'll show it to anybody. He's so eager to get out there, get his name out there, to impress. I don't know if he's looking to do that, but that's what it does. If you come here with a willingness to share, you're going to make friends from around the world. Next thing you know, you're going to get booked here and there. The kid's probably going to get some bookings out of this because he's just so willing to just do all it takes to make everybody a friend, to make everybody happy. And with so many guys from so far around the world in one little place, and you're really performing, you're not just maybe you catch a guy doing something, you're going to see these guys perform on stage. 80 guys?
About 80 guys,
it's incredible. So it's a real good cross-pollination of ideas around the world and talents that can really start guys' careers.
Well, and another thing, too, I think which is really cool is how that everybody, you mentioned that, Will, about being in a sharing attitude, and certainly everybody does share, and that's one of the things that Obi will invite you back if you are what he would consider a 4F brother or sister who is willing to share. You just can't do something. You got pet effects. You're not going to share everything. But at least that you're open and you're accessible and that you're... a lot of guys at some conventions you may kind of see go back to the room after they're finished with their show or whatever.
Nobody goes to sleep here.
No, they don't go to sleep.
The minimum is 2 or 3. Most guys are 4 or 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And with dozens and dozens of guys. I mean, it's really the most intense sessioning place to be, too. So I'm just thrilled to be here as usual. It's great.
Yeah. Now, how many years have you been coming?
Just my third time.
I thought you'd been here more than that, I guess.
No.
Okay.
It's always
I guess I see you at other places.
Yeah, it's a busy communion weekend for parties, and I'm still a party gigger.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get away, but I have to leave early tomorrow. I'm going to miss the last day because I got a good corporate job I can't pass up.
So you're going to leave tomorrow?
I'm the rich guy. I got to work. Yeah, leaving tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow Saturday?
I'm the last day.
Okay. And nothing much happening tomorrow. I mean, on the last night, you know, no big names or anything happening.
Yeah, Fat Brothers are going to kill it like they did the lecture last night. And also, the workshops here are just the highest level, too. And really cool stuff, yeah.
Yeah, When you mentioned the workshop, also the Pat Page Memorial Teacher Trek thing they did today, yeah, with the rings being the theme, yeah, that everybody kind of came on, gave a quick explanation, and then off. And so, yeah, you had like about a dozen different ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the same thing like with today on this Magical Moments show. We had, yeah, looked like about 14 or 15 people.
Yeah, every show. Yeah.
And they're all solid.
Three or four a day. It's, yeah, nuts. It's just nuts.
Yeah. And also that when you perform your first time, if you guys don't know this, I don't think I've expressed this before, that you get your bachelor's degree. And the second time, that if they ask you back, if they thought you were good enough and they want to see you again, then you get your master's degree. And then if you get the third time, you get your doctorate or PhD. Everybody who comes first time is expected to perform. So and I think when I talked with Obi the other day, on the first day, that he was saying that we had about 32 people or something like that, yeah, I think. And so we got a lot of new people. They're not necessarily new.
A lot of nerves, a lot of agita in the room.
That's right.
Poor guys. Yeah.
That's right.
Tim,
that's
Dave.
Right. Yeah. So I know you always look forward to it every year. And so coming, say, for the last for 3 years. But got to get back and work, huh?
Yep.
Okay. So anyhow, good convention, a lot of good stuff. Anything that you're looking forward to coming up that at least tonight you're going to see?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see the Italian gala, because I've really taken a shine to the Italian guys, because they bring tons of fresh homemade limoncello and cheese and crackers every year. I'm getting ready for the big Italian party tonight.
I've got to go to that
show.
I just heard about that while ago.
It's fantastic, man. Iannone kills it with the limoncello.
Okay. Thanks again. And for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Will Fern. This is Scotty out.
Think of it as a 4F public service announcement. Kind of like asleep at the wheel meets Don Ho. There's a little get-together happens in New York in spring. It's invitation only, given at the pleasure of the king. All of you first-time players, you gotta write the king a note. Tell him what you liked and didn't. Son, this ain't no joke. Oh, don't get banned for life. Don't get banned for life. Better write that letter. Don't be banned forever. Don't get banned for life. Well, a pretty little gal walking down the hall in the arms of a magician. They were both more than tipsy. He was just a wishing. Oh, but son, you know the rules. Seems like your mind's out of whack. Enjoy the buffet, because after today, you ain't coming back. No, no, don't get banned for life. Don't get banned for life. Don't get drunk, don't bring your wife. Don't get banned for life. This last one's my favorite. Well, the king was knocking at the door, where it smelled a little like skunk. When they opened the door, he hit the floor as they let out all the fun. Oh, the king, he was not happy. In fact, he was a little bit hot. Some call it weed, some call it pot. They once were here, now they're not. Don't get banned for life. Don't get banned for life. Don't smoke dope in the pale moonlight. Don't get banned for life. Oh, now don't get banned for life. Don't get banned for life. You better write that letter. Don't be banned forever. Don't get drunk. Don't bring your wine. Don't smoke dope in the pale moonlight. Put ice in my wine or you're banned for all time. Don't get banned for life.
Well, we've just finished the Italian show and had our smorgasbord dinner and kind of in an afterglow here a little bit. And so I thought I would talk with another person who is one of the first-time people kind of working on his bachelor's and actually earned his bachelor's here at the 4F when he performed in the All-British show. And I guess that's part of Great Britain, which is up in Scotland, all the way from Edinburgh. Please welcome Neil Durden.
Hi, guys. How are we doing? How are we doing? Good to be here.
I'm glad that you're here. And you having a great time?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I've not been to a huge number of conventions, but I'll say right now, the week isn't even over, and this is absolutely up there with the best of them. 4F really is something else.
I mean, your conventions that you have over in the UK are a little bit different. I mean, those are smaller conventions too, I assume, except for Blackpool, the biggest, of course.
But. Yeah, so everybody knows about Blackpool, you know, the world's largest convention, 3,500 magicians, which is on a different scale and, you know, good for different reasons. And then I guess you've got the Session Convention. Andy mm-hmm. and Josh put that together. And I think that's grown to about 250 people now as well. A few years since I've been down to that. But, you know, each convention's got its little niche. But, yeah, I have to say that kind of 4F's lived up to the hype.
Your expectations.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's always good to hear, because sometimes I'm curious of whether people might say, you know, I've heard a lot about it, but it just didn't live up to it. And it's kind of like meeting your hero. Sometimes when you meet him, you think, oh, well, he wasn't as cool as I thought, or whatever. But glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the thing that's really stood out this convention over others is something I was told in advance was the kind of the level of brotherhood, if that's the right word, the kind of real feeling of camaraderie between the attendees.
Right.
It really does feel that everybody here, you know, could be family, which is a great feeling. And aside from that, everybody really wants you to succeed as well. You know, the way that the performance area is set up, I walked into it before the crowds came in the other day, and it's almost, it could be a bit of a bear pit, just the way it's set up with the tiered seating and everything.
Looking down, yeah.
Audience on three sides.
Watching the gladiators fight down there.
That's right. But, you know, that it didn't feel like that at all. It really felt like everybody was there to support you. And, it just, that really helped, you know, certainly in terms of my own personal performance. I got a great vibe from everybody. Everybody was there to support.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, yeah, you talk about being able to support. I think when it's interesting that somebody actually has a performance that goes bad, and it does from time to time, and I know they feel horrible about it, but there's so much encouragement, and everybody's saying, hey, we've been there, I know it, I know what you're going through, I understand the nerves,
yes.
So and so they feel better afterwards, because I know that I've made some mistakes, I've performed here 8 or more times myself, and that whenever once something went wrong, and I had Paul Daniels sitting in the front row right there, you know, and he was just saying, take a breath, try it again, and it's okay.
And this is the other thing, because the performance area is so intimate, you've got all these heroes of yours from, you know, all different countries, all different age groups, all different walks of life. They're all there in the front row looking at you. And that's some kind of pressure. Yeah, it is.
Now, as far as some of the specifics as to the shows and things, what have you enjoyed? We just, again, finished the All Italy show, and I think we're having the Asian show tomorrow, I believe. And
That's right. Yeah. Oh, I think each show's kind of brought something a little different to the convention
as well,
you know. So first night were the Canadians, who were, you know, a lot of fun, a lot of comedy magic
great
in there, some
that's
great tricks as well.
Yeah.
The times today were crazy, weren't they? They were fantastic. All ran on at the end in their kind of boxing gloves, dancing around like Rocky. I don't know where that came from. But
the Italian stallion. See, that was some Rocky.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah,
because they all came out stripped to the waist and then in boxing gloves and boxing shorts. But what was different, I just happened to think about that, how that they do differ, because you mentioned about the comedy of Canada and the eclecticness, I guess, if you will, of the UK, I mean, of Great Britain, and that, of different things that were happening. And then today, it seemed with the Italians, there was a lot of manipulation with cards and coins. Very heavy, and it was intensive on slides.
Heavy slides, quite artistic a lot.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So each of the shows have indeed been different. And then some of the other ones, old friends, or rather friends old and new, and magical mysteries. Today was like the one that Christian and Katarina Painter had hosted, was a lot of mentalism.
There were some guys
who had done some mentalism.
And you're right, the Asian show tomorrow, personally that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. I mean, they tend to just knock it out of the park every time.
Every time you see the Asians perform.
Yeah.
Now, when you've been to Blackpool, I assume you've seen a lot of South Koreans and others who have been in Japan and whatnot ever to perform.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's kind of why, one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to tomorrow so much, is I've just seen the kind of things these guys can do, and to have an all-Asian show, I think we're in for a treat, yeah.
Well, you're also here at a good year, because they've just started with the new television screens that are big image projectors that in the past we've had pretty good size screens, but nothing like they have now. I mean, they're more than twice the size of what we've had before, plus high definition.
Yeah, which is absolutely great. So if you're not in amongst the audience watching the show, you can kind of nip through the back and watch it on the big screen. So it just adds an extra of dimension to it. You know, if you need to nip out and in or whatever it might be, refresh your beer, then you've got the opportunity to do that without disturbing the performers.
So what's a trick that you have either purchased or seen or something that's impressed you that when you go back you're going to say, man, I learned something here, or I bought something, or I met something? I mean, to date, right now, what would be a memory or two of something that sticks out?
Oh my goodness, so much.
I'm sure there are.
If I was to pick one or two things, I have to say Martin Cox last night did a really nice card warp, which I think is a marketed item, but he was kind of walking us through that, which was really nice.
Yes,
nice twist on a classic.
He has that out on a DVD. I forget what he calls that, but that's an excellent drug routine. Yes.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I mean, sharing a room with Jeff Williams, that guy is nonstop. The boy's incredible. He's so quick-witted. He's got some great tricks, and you know, I'll kind of pretty much roll out of bed, and he's there with his cards in his hand, ready to show me something. So, Steve Freeberg as well, very generous, sharing a lot of his things. Mm-hmm. I think that's the things that stand out for me so far. But it's one of these things when you're in the midst of it, you really need a bit of time afterwards to digest it and really have a think through. And that's why you need to take notes, people. You know, there's so much happens at these conventions.
Well, one of the couple things I didn't have a chance yet to go to because I've been working on editing the podcast, putting it back together, and getting this uploaded, so I didn't get to go last night and have the scotch. Did you go to the scotch tasting last evening?
I did. Given that I come from the country that springs this stuff, I thought I should really come prepared and bring a bottle myself. So I brought a bottle of one of my favorite whiskeys, shared it with the guys, and definitely drank more than my fair share last night. Well, they were serving double measures as well, which I didn't realize at the time, Scott. So.
Texas size.
Yeah.
Well, they've got hopefully have some more left over for tonight.
I believe it's all upstairs waiting now. So I think, as soon as the show's over, I think I'm going to have to refresh the glass.
Definitely going to go back up there. And then I also missed, but I heard that the Italians have a room with limoncello and cheese and crackers.
That's a rumor, right? Yeah, I think we need to go and check that out later as well.
Right.
A bit of limoncello,
And then, of course, the Precursor, there used to be an old magazine called The Precursor, and they have a suite. And that goes on all night until wee hours of the morning as well with pretzels and the kinds of...
So it
was like going
up there.
Bar to bar, room to room. It's
it is, and it's comes back to the camaraderie again. These guys hire out the rooms to sleep in, but also open it up to anyone who wants to come along and just share in the festivities. A lot of great magic, a lot of food and drink. Everybody's just having a great time. So
you see, the original idea with the Precursor Suite was when again they had the magazine that they, and really it was in the days when they were typewriting the magazine. It wasn't really a magazine so much as it was a typewritten newsletter. And they opened the room trying to get people to give them ideas, and while they were just kind of loosened up, they would say, hey, well, let me show you one of my pet effects. And there would be a place for sharing ideas, and then they would write up the tricks, and then they would put them out over the next several months because there would be so much stuff here that people would share. And so that's where you'd really see a lot of the underground stuff, and that would be tipped here first, basically, at the Precursor Suite. Well, now it seems like it's all over the place, you know.
And what a great concept as well. And, you know, the likes of Will Houston and Andy that are keeping that going with the Precursor as it is now is, it's a fantastic idea and just adds an extra dimension to the convention as well.
Yep. So you're excited and you want to come back as often as you can, I'm sure.
Oh, well, you know, I'm hoping that I did a good enough job the other night during the show to be invited back and, be well-behaved, absolutely. So I'd love to come back, Scott. Yeah. I mean, it really is a step above, I think, the other things that I've attended in the past.
Yep.
So, great setup. Yeah.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed having a chance to get to know you well. I've known Peter for such a long time and been a good mate, and glad to have a new one in you.
Well, just before we go, let me say as well, that I mentioned this in my show, that the last time there was two Scotsmen at 4F.
Mm-hmm.
There's Peter McClanahan, who we all know and love. Another one I'm sure the listeners know was Pat Page. So I'm definitely trying to step into some big shoes here, but it's been a lot of fun.
Your feet will have to grow a bit.
That's right. A long way to go.
That was Neil Sturton from Edinburgh, Scotland. And for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty Out. All right, well, we're halfway through the evening show on Friday Night's Follies or whatever it's called over here, and I'm here with Raj Maddock. Hey there, Raj.
How's it going?
Fantastic. So how do you like the show?
The show has been good. Good as always. Unusual, different, fun.
So what's stuck out for you so far over here?
Well, the last act was the Human Deck of Cards, which is a sort of a standout act we've had here once in a while. Yannick and Michelle from Canada. Hard to describe, but a lot of in-jokes, a lot of magic jokes. Really to cards.
Yeah.
And they're pretty amazing guys.
Yeah, and they were on the cover of Magic Magazine. That's right. Linking Ring Magazine.
That's right. So you can read all about them.
That's right. If you haven't seen them before.
What about that?
And then some other guys. I thought one fellow who did the coins. Lawrence Godin?
Yes, Lawrence Godin.
Godin, yeah.
Amazing. He also did manipulation with the crystal balls.
Yeah, like that Michael Motion stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What is that called? That's some kind of juggling.
It is,
contact juggling.
Contact juggling. Thank you. That's
amazing. Started with one ball, went to two, three. When he thought it couldn't get any better, he went to four balls. Amazing.
Yep. Then there was a guy, a kid who was only 19 years old.
Billy Dubuque.
Yeah.
Billy just finished a week at the castle. He was here a few years ago. Young man, 19.
Yeah.
Looks younger, sort of short statured, high energy, unbelievable energy, very French, very thick accent, moves fast, cuts cards faster than anybody I've seen.
Oh my gosh.
Produces aces, transforms them to kings. Amazing act.
He ought to continue to do that as long as he's young, because he won't be doing it when
he gets
to be our age.
We were tired out watching the act.
He'll have to, it's a good thing. Hopefully somebody videoed that.
That's right.
So you can remember what it's like.
Yep.
He's been coming for a number of years.
24 now.
24. You're still kind of a pup.
Yeah, that's right. No, I mean, it's like something I take special time out of my year. Happy to be here. Old friends, like family more than a convention now.
Yep.
Enjoyed being on the Pat Page Memorial Workshop this year.
Yep.
Every year we have a workshop that the attendees vote on, and the subject matter is chosen for the year in advance for the next year. So this year was ring and string magic, so we had, I think, 6 or 8 performers, each teaching a routine or a pet move. And we have great new AV this year with huge screens, high-def TVs. So it's really nice for a thing like ring and string. You can get up close, even though we're seating, probably 200 people here.
Yeah.
You still get a nice, intimate feel.
Well, you know, talking about being a brotherhood and family and everything, and, you know, I always love getting a chance to spend with you, but it's still one of these large conventions, but it's not like it's 1,000 people. At least you still get a little bit of intimate time with friends like
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
But
and part of that is because we're stuck in Batavia.
There's no place else to go. That's right. And everything is all happening in one place. I mean,
right.
The dealers are just like right there, and dinner's right there.
Yep.
And everything.
There's no distractions, so to speak.
Right. And everybody's staying in the hotel. We've taken over the hotel. There's really no other group that's here or anything.
Exactly right.
But I remember a few years back, and you had taught me a ring on rope routine with the velvet cord and everything, and I was doing it for a while. I need to kind of refresh me again on
that. Sure, we'll go over that any time.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't do that over here. Was that because it's not your move necessarily?
My expectation was just to not spend a lot of time on stage. I wanted to teach a move that maybe people hadn't seen for a while or been familiar with, something unusual.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to teach a whole routine. I mean, there's plenty of time for sessioning all that.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd show them something they hadn't seen for a while. It was something I put in Apocalypse 20 years ago.
Yeah, at least. Now, also, as far as what you have seen or purchased or learned here, what has stood out? What's something so far?
I think
got another day to go. But
yeah. I'm not a big buyer of merchandise. Books are one of my passions.
Yeah.
Gene Anderson's new book. Hopefully, you talked to Gene about that.
I just bought his book.
Tremendous.
Yep.
Every year we come here, and Gene has an update on his book and searching for a title. But
that's
it's come to fruition.
That's why our name is in his book.
Exactly. Come to fruition. But Gene is probably one of the more high energy guys I know, and it's always good to see his face and his smiling countenance around. But he's actually the perennial spectator this year. He's getting called up on stage over and over. Because I think people know when they ask him to be on stage, he'll be a wonderful spectator.
Yeah.
Full of energy, full of life, full of humor.
I got his book too. Again, it's one of those things with great expectations. And I went over and I said, look, I feel like I need to have this book. I mean, I've already seen it, you know, in its different iterations
as you've shown
the drawings and everything about that.
But getting back to highlights, I think the highlight for me is always seeing both old friends and then making new friends, more so internationally now. I think Obi's really taken this convention to another level over the last decade, where he really scours the country in conventions and finds acts who are at the top of their game, prize-winning acts, FISM-winning acts, and then invites them to come here.
Right.
And I think people may or may not know this, but people don't get paid to come here. People come out of their own free will, giving up time from their families, from their professional work, just to share. So it really is a brotherhood and a family.
Right. I mean, it is amazing to think that the top pros here who get paid good money in the corporate or the business world, wherever to perform, and then at other magic conventions, will come here and
take time off.
pay out of their own pocket to get the chance to maybe perform.
Exactly. You know? And then the guest of honors, the Fad Brothers, to have three guests of honors all three are individually of such high caliber performers, to have them together in one place and performing for us and lecturing to us and teaching us was probably a highlight for me so far.
Yeah. We talk about making new friends, and I have made a couple of new friends here as well. I've had a chance to get to know already, who are from other countries that I hadn't met. Personally, a couple of them I've spoken to by email or heard of the reputation, but I've gotten to know some more guys. And so, there's just a lot to say that's positive about this convention.
Yeah, there's a sense of camaraderie, and I think it's probably one of the conventions where people share the most and session the most.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a close-up convention, so people have to be close and intimate in a sit-down setting to share with each other rather than watching a big stage manipulation act. But it's one of the few conventions that I'm aware of where you could leave the lobby and there's something going on in the hallway or in a hotel room. Day and night. And people are very welcoming to let you into their group. Because they know that people here who've been accepted to attend here have a certain caliber, and they can speak the language, they can do the moves, they can relate to it. They don't have to bring it down a notch. So that's been a nice thing for me, is being able to feel comfortable that you're with people who are your peers, who respect you, and you want to share with them, and they share with you.
Yeah, that's true. Garage, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Talk to you, Scott, as always. Always good to see you.
You as well, buddy. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Raj Madak. Scotty out.
We just
finished up the second half of the evening show, and the only American on the bill here this evening was Joe Monte, the man that the red, white, and blue boat tie.
Yeah, you know, I haven't used this tie since my last show. I love using this tie.
Yeah.
I was proud to be the only American representative on that show.
Yeah.
And I know that Joan had the whole Canadian thing up front.
Right.
And I told her, I hope you don't mind me pulling out a big American flag. And
smiled.
I'm going to do it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're walking around the cane. At least you're walking. So tell us about what all has been happening and how your recovery has been, and the accident, when it happened, and all that.
I'll make it real quick.
Yeah.
A woman in an SUV while I was crossing the street hit me when I was a quarter of the way in the crosswalk.
And you were walking.
I was just walking. You know, I'm walking here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got rushed to a trauma center. For about a month, I was neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I got a broken tibia, which will take a few more months to heal. I'm about to start therapy next week. It's been a long road, but I'm alive and well. And only reason I got out of my room was to come here.
Yeah.
Factor is because
it means so much.
Yeah, truly being around people that you have fun with is the best medicine of all, better than any drug.
Yeah.
And that I'm not sugarcoating that. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and how long ago did this happen? I want to say it was like 45 days ago or
February 19th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And as I said in the show, people asked, did the woman stop?
Yeah.
And I said, I slowed her down with my body.
That's about it.
No, she didn't. She did stop.
Okay.
She admitted fault, you know. It was it's Christian Egg Bloom.
Christian Egg Bloom. One of the Fat Brothers.
Yeah.
That's right.
What a fantastic show. What a fantastic show. Loved it.
No, Christian, I had to be good. You three guys are sitting in the front. The stars of this entire convention. I'm thinking the pressure's on. I got a bum leg. So,
look, no pressure. You're among friends here at 4F. And that was great. Loved it.
Thank you, every second
of it.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Very good. Want to take a picture of you guys also here.
Oh, that would be great.
That would
be fantastic.
Well. So, hold on. Stand right here. And Joe, I'm glad you're doing better.
Thank you.
Glad to see you
thank
out
you,
and
Scott.
Everything then, too.
Yeah.
And so,
I'm alive and well, despite all the rumors, as they say.
That's good. That's over the Magic Word Podcast. That was Joe Monte and Christian Engblom. Scotty out. All right, still wandering about with the donuts, having coffee and beer. I can't decide which I want to drink, first. So one to kind of perk you up, another one to put you down, so it's a sip of each. And I'm standing here with Eric DeCamps. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
I'm
having a great time.
I'm having a great time.
It's
also
been so much fun today. Today was actually a very, very fun day. I thought the shows were strong.
They were all strong, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight's show was just great, and with standing ovations and everything. That last guy, Jacob?
Yeah.
From
did a terrific job. Did a terrific job. Jeroen did a terrific job. I thought it was a fun show. The gentleman from France with the coins and the contact
juggling.
Holy moly!
Yes,
he was off the hook.
I just went over and complimented him a minute ago.
Yeah, me too.
I said, I think I was the only guy standing. Where was everybody else? I said, this is
it was terrific. It was terrific. I thought I stood up. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I thought overall it was very, very, very good.
Yep, and I thought Mayor did a great job of emceeing.
He does a good job every year. Very fun. Let's be honest.
Funny. Yeah, of course.
He's just always terrific. He's a really good MC.
Did you buy anything? You find anything new in the dealer's room?
I walked around.
Yeah. I got Gene's book, and that's been about it. You know, I mean, I'm getting the
which
point.
Book did you get?
Gene Anderson's new book.
Oh, Gene Anderson's. Oh, sorry, Gene's new book. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's introducing here, and so I feel like that I've been living with that for so long each year that we go out to breakfast and he always says, okay, what you been doing? And then he tells us about his book and here's a chapter I finished this year, you know, and so it's been obviously a labor of love. And so I felt like
that's
I was part
awesome.
Of the birthing process. And so I was one of the nurses, you know, in the hospital.
You're the midwife.
Midwife, exactly. In fact, my name is among others in the book saying, hey, these are conversations during convention
that's
I had.
Great.
That, so it's like, that's nice. So anyhow, yeah, that's that I got. But as I'm getting older, I'm getting more selective in things I'm buying.
Oh, well, you all do. I mean,
you got enough stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't your wife saying the same thing as mine? She's got like, when are you taking this to the auction? When are you going to get rid of some of this stuff? You need to pare down instead of adding more.
Listen, I didn't want to know. I got two warehouses. I have two warehouse storage facilities, actually.
Wow.
Full of stuff, you know. So,
that you
not
just
magic. Yeah, a lot of magic in it, too. But I do have a lot of magic and a lot of stuff. But you don't know. When you're in this thing, when you're doing magic and you're studying magic, you don't know what's really going to click with you until you get a chance to really start working on it and performing in it. And that's, you know, that's part of being a good magician is learning.
That's
a learning experience.
You have to buy something then let it percolate because sometimes you get an idea in the middle of the night or watching TV or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I've had props that I've been sitting for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, then it comes the idea on the presentation, because that's my thing. I mean, I like to think out a presentation, justification of why I have the prop. Justification of props is very important to me. Every single prop has to have a reason why you bring it out and use it, you know?
Absolutely. I had a sub trunk for 4 years before I actually did it because I wanted to have the right music.
No.
I mean, I used to do stage. I used to do doves. I mean, I used to do sub, you know, everything. And anyhow, my younger days, my knees were better. But the point is that I wanted to have the right music and have something that I felt like would go with the show and the timing and the rehearsal and everything. And, you know, I just didn't buy it and put it in. But it takes some time for everything. But, you know, for an example, like with the Dean's Box, I wouldn't buy one because that you do the ultimate one. I mean, I think
you
put enough time and effort into that. I mean, I after seeing your egg bag routine, I almost wouldn't do that, but I just love the egg bag so much. I've got
the egg bag's a great trick.
It is.
It's a hard trick to present well.
It
really is a hard trick to present well.
A lot of people do it, and you don't think everybody does it well.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Why do you think it's so hard?
Because I don't think they get what the premise is and what the real... I have theories on it, on why I do what I do and the reason why I chose it. It's like the linking rings. Linking rings is a great trick. I don't think it's a great silent trick.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Certain people do it well, silently. But to me, to make it a real magic and a real mystery, you need to have a spectator there with you, and you need to hand those things. You need a committee to examine those rings.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once they examine it, they verify, and they say, well, these are solid. Otherwise, they're rings that open and close.
Well, that's why I like the Himber ring routine, because you're borrowing
that's
rings.
True.
That just
that's true.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's a good that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And the Himber ring, but it's not as visible.
You have to explain what happened almost.
Right. I mean, I've seen guys do it on stage.
I do it on stage.
Do you?
Yeah.
I know Kreskin did it on stage, too.
I do that as part of my regular stage show.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I love to
I walk
see
out
it.
In the audience and everything, you know, to borrow it.
You
and then
come
I go back
with the regular people?
The regular people.
Great God, I'm coming down amongst you people.
And in fact, whenever I'm doing a sound check, I always make sure that it works, that I'm not going to be in front of the mic or get this feedback and everything, you know, in front of the speakers and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's
so
horrible.
But I know I won't get it because I know where the hot spots are going
to
be. So whenever I practice, because I know I'm going to be doing the ring routine, so I walk out certain places.
You've got to thought it out. You've thought
exactly.
it out.
Exactly. But, you know, talking for an example, like with Nick Lewin, that Nick does, I think, with five rings. I believe it is. Either four
that's
or five.
That's a lot. Really?
Yeah. And the reason is he said that, to his thinking, is that if there are three rings, that the logical thought would be, well, the middle ring must have a cut in it or something to let it link on. Whereas if you got four or five, they're thinking which one of those might be the one. Anyhow, just a different way of thinking of it.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
But
that's
you think about things a lot in presentation.
Yeah, I do.
A lot
yeah.
before you put it together.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to do a piece tomorrow that I've been working on for probably 7 or 8 years on and off. I mean, everything's not just sitting there every day thinking of the same problem.
Sure,
no. And I have a couple of new routines. Again, I'll work on it for years and keep it quiet until I find the what I feel is the right solution for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the right solution for me is not the right solution for Scott Wells.
No, that's absolutely right.
Right, and that's what makes it beautiful.
And when some people see what you do, they think, oh, he's got the right idea, and then they will want to clone you and steal the idea or something.
Well,
you probably get that from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're just going to lift off of something that I spent years thinking about
mm-hmm.
and R&D.
Right, exactly right.
Because that's my time.
I remember when Mack King was working in comedy clubs, I went to see him, and there was somebody, must have been a magician or somebody, who had a notepad and was writing down lines. And he said, what are you doing? And he took the notepad, he said, you're stealing my babies.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, that's, you know, I talked about this with Rene Levon many years ago. I mean, he considered his pieces children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why when I saw Rene Levon in 1991 in Lausanne, Switzerland at FISM, when I went there to FISM, I mean, the guy
just your world.
Oh my God, it was just another. I had seen him on video, but when I saw him live, it was a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him do the breadcrumbs for the very first time, I had never seen that even on video.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Holy moly, what is this guy doing?" And I was sitting with Darwin Ortiz, and we're sitting down there, and we're watching Renee do the breadcrumbs, and we're like, do you know? I says, he's got to be doing something, but I can't see it, right?
Yeah.
So later, the next year, we became very friendly, and he spent a week in my house, and I knew that was a piece I wanted to attempt, and even though it was already written up, it was okay for me to do it, I would never feel correct, I never feel right if I didn't ask him personally for permission. And when I did that, and it was funny because I even set up a whole show to make him to come and see me perform, to see what my style was,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And he loved it. I was nervous about it, but he was very complimentary.
Sure.
And then when I said to him, that's funny, Renee, because it's something you do that I would like to do. And he goes, what's that, Eric? I says, I would love to try to do the breadcrumbs. And he said to me, you have to do it. You have the personality for it. I know you can do a great job. And I said, oh, wow. And then when I started working on it, I didn't realize the problems that I had to solve to make it work.
Yeah, you were using both hands, weren't you?
Yes, yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
At first.
You know, speaking of Renee Levon, that there are certain moments and things at magic conventions we attend that really are highlights or things that are outstanding you have mm-hmm. as a good memory or something. And one of the things, I think it was an SAM convention in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
in which the
Renee
Levon
1993.
Okay, and you were behind the camera. And
I was a camera boy.
And the thing that I remember so much about that was great because you knew what was happening,
mm-hmm.
and so you know the right place to have the camera at that time.
Yeah.
Because you did the routine, you were friends with Renee,
and I knew the whole act. So
Mike Caveney, I think it was Tina. I think
it was Tina was doing the translation.
She was doing the translation on that,
mm-hmm.
and so it was just one of those. It was just wonderful. It was just a great.
Yeah, you're right, and I remember that, and that was one of the things. And they said it ran like seamlessly.
Yeah,
and I remember people
more so than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it was great. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, Renee was a huge inspiration to me, and watching him work, you know, in fact, he transcended doing tricks, because he didn't do tricks. It was art when he did.
I wish I could understand Spanish. I mean, I speak very little. But had some in high school. But the point is that I understand that his language is more romantic, if you understand what he's saying.
It's very romantic. It's very flowery and very emotional.
Yeah.
In 1997, I was invited to go to Colombia for Gustavo Loria. He was hosting the Intermagic convention, which is like South American FISM.
Mm-hmm.
And when he called me to say, I'd like you to perform here, I said, okay. I said, well, who's on the bill? And he said, bah, 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 and Renee Levon. And I said, oh my God, what an opportunity it is for me to get to see Renee in South America to perform in a theater with lay people, because it wasn't just a magician's convention. Yes, it was a magician convention, but what they also did was they hired a theater, and an intimate theater, and they ran close-up magic, parlor magic shows, and they had Aldo Colombini on the bill, Alan from Argentina, and a bunch of other people, Carl Cloutier, and a bunch of other people, and did this show, and Renee was there. And I got to see him do a theater full of, I mean, some magicians too, of course, but real people.
Yeah.
And he came out, did a short story, did a short version of the breadcrumbs, one card trick, and ended with a story. And the place went bonkers. There was no translator, so there was no problem with timing, because that's the problem when you work in translation, because you got to say something, pause, let your translator translate it, and then continue. So there's always, it's not, this is smooth sailing.
Yeah.
And they threw roses at him. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience. And I said, this was worth me going through this trip.
Yeah.
And going to South America to see this and see it once in my life, because I'll never forget it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a great education for me.
Yeah.
Because I got to see, you know, and I got an opportunity to hang out with him and his wife. You know, it's fun.
That's fabulous. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, thanks for saying hello, man.
Well, I wanted to just kind of let the listeners get have your thoughts on the convention, how things are going and everything, too. And so can you tip what you're going to be talking about tomorrow? Or not,
tomorrow?
Wait till,
Well, I'm going to be doing a set.
I know, but you're going to say what you're going to
be
doing.
Oh, it's going to be cool.
So the answer is no. Okay. Well,
I think it's going to be fun. I think it'll be fun. I want to surprise you.
Yes, well.
I want to surprise you. Hey, I have a new piece. I definitely have one new piece that you've never seen me do.
Okay.
But I hope you like it. I got to go make sure I can get it in the time limit.
Will you be having another one-man show coming up soon?
I developed a second one-man show. But that's more for magicians right now, and I can do it for lay people too.
Yeah.
And and I've tested it out at a couple of magic conventions. As a matter of fact, I did it last month at Abbott's, and it got a standing ovation. You know, it just made me very happy.
Yeah.
But the Pure Magic Show is like, that's my baby. That's one I spent a lot of time on. And but it's all
beautiful
like
show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And I also had a guy by the name of Bob Fitch help me out with that one.
Yeah.
Made me a much better made me a much better communicator.
You know, one of the podcasts that I have most downloaded and people that really like was Bob Fitch's, because actually he gave like a mini lecture. He just finished at the TA. Well, matter of fact, that was last year.
Yeah, I remember.
I talked with him afterwards, and we sat down for an hour and basically kind of recap what he had in the lecture. And I mean, because just a couple of tips he gave me has changed the way that I perform ever since that day. You know, and I feel it's gotten stronger with just those two different ideas.
It was funny because when we were working at the Pure Magic Show together, there was a lot of decisions I had to make, because I already had put together another show that was longer. It was 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we needed to put in a cabaret. They want only maximum 70 minutes.
Yeah.
So I said to him, all right, so I hire him as a director, right? And we're working on the thing. And I said, okay, so what are we cutting out? He goes, no. You decide what you're going to cut out. I can't make that decision.
Right.
And because, like, again, they're all my children, right?
Right.
And I said, and he says, no, you got to make a decision. So we went through the whole thing. I cut it out, and there's a lot of material that I had to cut out. I had to cut out 20 minutes. Think about it. I had to cut out 20 minutes, and it was not easy. I mean, it's not easy for me to cut that stuff, because in my mind, I said it. I said it in a linear fashion. I think very linearly. Like, I can't do what Quentin Tarantino did, which I wish I could do, in Pulp Fiction, which is a movie that is out of sequence.
Yes, exactly.
Yet at the end, it's like a puzzle. It comes all together, and now it's a complete story. I wish I had that talent to do that. I can't. I think like an engineer, very, very linearly.
Yeah. My wife actually walked out after a Pulp Fiction. There were parts of it she said, this is not for me. And when about an hour later I came outside, she said, where have you been? I said, I was watching the rest of the movie. She said, well, this guy was already dead. I said, yeah, but you don't understand.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of sequence.
She thought, what is
it? Brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a brilliant filmmaker. I think.
It was. All right. Well,
all right. Thanks,
Bob. Thank you very much.
Okay. So much. Thank you, man.
Right. And for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Erica Camps. This is Scotty out.